Good afternoon, Bahamas, and welcome to The Hit Back. I'm your host, Nahaja Black. It is a beautiful day here in the 242. I hope that everybody's doing well, taking care of yourself. You know, the whole thing that we do every day here on the show, that you're loving yourself. You're being your best self, best person. I'm excited about today's show because it's a topic that I haven't had much opportunity to discuss before. Actually, I've never had this topic done on the show. So I'm excited to do it. I have joining me one of the nation's greatest, therapeutic professionals. I don't know. I'm having one of those days where I can't get words together. But one of the more brilliant family therapists, marriage therapists, young, and really much the life of the party every time I bring her on the show. The one and only Dr. Edrika Richardson. Dr. E, how you doing?
Hi. I love my intro from you. I'm going to take you around to be my hype.
Okay. Listen, I could be the hype for a lot of people. I got you. When you need hypage, holla.
Okay. All right. See, that's your next gig.
Yeah. No, I could definitely. I've always figured that I could be that person. Yeah. You know, when I'm...
Okay, little jokes.
I could be that person. You need me to be that person? I could be that person. I've got it down. Dr. E, today I'm excited because we are having a conversation on something that honestly I didn't see as I wouldn't have never thought of it.
No,
and I'm looking forward to your definition of it.
Okay.
The how do you know if you got it? So like the symptoms of it, mm-hmm. And what's the cure if there's any, like the regimen. You know, what sort of bad things happen to you or good things, if any? I think this is going to be very interesting. So without further ado,
what creates the need? Because the need is a big part of it.
Need is big. Okay. I like that. Because if for you who are wondering, Nahaja, what is this topic? What are we talking about? Ladies and gentlemen, today with Dr. E, because she's so brilliant, she said, Nahaja, we have to talk about this today. I was like, okay. I mean, I never talked about it before. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about people pleasing. People pleasing. And I honestly, Dr. E, like I said, I didn't see this as something where it was so big of a problem, mm-hmm. that we needed to have a discussion on it, or that there's studies and stuff, like books.
Books written about this, conversations happening about it, because what happens is that some of us could fall into this category and not even realize that it's happening. That's mm-hmm. that's the whole thing. And so I guess we could start out with looking at a little quick check-in with ourselves to figure out, are we potentially people pleasers?
Well, hold on. What is people pleasing though?
Okay. So what makes a people pleaser? Let's always start out, let's start definition. That's someone who tries really, really hard to make others happy. I mean, their life is about other people's happiness. They often go out of their way to please somebody, even if it means sacrificing their own needs and their resources, their time. And I'm not talking about like a mother's love, right? Because mothers will go and they will sacrifice that unconditional love. No, mm-hmm. I'm talking about the point where you're sacrificing and it creates so much insecurities for you and a lack of self-esteem that you don't even know what you want, because your whole identity, your whole sense of self is wrapped up in other people's happiness. You feel like it's your job to make other people happy.
Interesting.
Your okay. job. I wouldn't even want that pressure, because the pressure of, and that's a big part of people pleasing, the pressure of deciding that my job is to make you happy, that's too much. That's way too much.
That's heavy.
And so you hear people say this all the time. Well, when you're in a relationship, you're supposed to make the next person happy. No. Let's change the language. You're supposed to add to their happiness. They themselves have to make themselves happy first, because you can't create happiness for somebody where it doesn't exist.
Oh,
and a lot of people don't realize that they think it's so. I guess we could start out with some signs that you could figure out whether or not you're a people pleaser. Because one of the biggest ones is that It's this idea that your emotional system is completely connected to the other person's emotional system. So if they are sad or angry, you feel like it's your job to fix it. But let's be honest, some of us are sad and angry. That's just our disposition. It doesn't actually mean anything. That's mm-hmm. just how we feel. Mm-hmm. And so we have to understand the difference between needing somebody. You could ask somebody and check in and say, hey, you okay? You looking a little off, versus, and the person responds to you and say, yeah, you know, I'm not feeling good today. Like, okay, I have to do everything I can to make this person feel good, make them happy. Some days we are just, it's just a day. It's just a fleeting moment. And in a few hours, we'll be over it. We just on to the next thing.
Yeah. So then, okay. People pleasing
it's a need that, too.
Yeah. Is it a need that I have? It would be a need.
It is a need. It's a need that says my happiness, my success, my feeling good only is derived from making others feel that way. It's the lack of self-awareness to realize that you're not an extension of people, but your only fulfillment first has to come from yourself. And it ends mm-hmm. with yourself. Anybody else adds to what you already have established and developed within yourself. And that's the difference. People pleasers, the word no to them is like saying that it's time for the resurrection. Like everything has fallen apart. They can't stand the word no.
They can't stand to hear it. They can't stand it.
It's not even to hear it, but also to say it to other people. They cannot say the word no. They will figure a way out to do something at any sacrifice.
Mm.
I know I'm comfortable with the word no.
Man, that's powerful. That's big.
They can't. The idea that you tell them not, no is like the biggest rejection ever.
If they say it.
If they say it, and if somebody says it to them. And they constantly apologize. So let's do a quick first, just if you're just wondering if you're a people pleaser, we'll do a quick check-in before I actually go through the thorough list.
Okay.
Let's do if you're buried under a never-ending to-do list. Is that a yes mm-hmm. or a no? If you feel guilty saying no. Mm-hmm. If you're worried about what others think. So those three things give you a quick inventory, because it becomes a very quick, common problem that you don't realize, and it can lead to codependency, which we'll look at later on in the show. Because people pleasers, their first job is always talking about and catering to other people's needs. So there are some common traits. If you're afraid of being rejected or abandoned, if you're preoccupied with what others think, if you're fearful of saying no, if you're hungry for others' approval, if you feel stuck in relationships where you give more than you get, mm-hmm. if you feel overworked because of an overdeveloped sense of personal responsibility, and that's a big one. And I can mm-hmm. even talk about that one by itself, because I think millennials and what is it, Generation Z now have completely changed the working dynamic, because millennials, and one speaking of one myself, I am not staying to any job that I don't like.
That's it. Done.
I said that to somebody. They were like, what do you mean? I was like, if I don't like it, I'm not doing it. Mm-hmm. And they're like, but what about money? And I was like, well, I make money. Yeah. I'm just not going to stress myself. I am not going. You know what? I watched my mother do this, and she did a great job when it was her time to do this. And I have friends and mothers who do the same thing. They will work themselves at a job they don't like to go to every day, come home, complain about the job, and go back the next day. And now it's 25 years doing that same thing. And yeah. It's time for retirement. Mm-hmm. Millennials and Generation Z, they are said to will have at least 5 jobs before they figure out what their career is. And once that career does not meet their needs anymore, they're not staying with it, because they've realized that work and career life should be fulfillment.
Yes.
So this whole idea of feeling overworked and underdeveloped, and that it's your personal responsibility to keep overworking because that makes you a good employee or a mm-hmm. good person, they're not interested in doing that anymore.
You're right on that.
Not. Yep. Kick that to the curb. And that's a big deal because we have to realize that we should be working as a need to help us with some things, maybe financially, some things maybe with our success, but we shouldn't be living to work. There are people we working to live. It should facilitate things. And I really need people to understand that. I'm talking about those people who will spend, they wake up in the morning before they even get out of bed, they check in the emails.
Yeah.
They go 1 hour into trying to eat some breakfast, they check in. Like, it's like they cannot turn off. And that's another level of sickness of people pleasing, that it's very subtle. And it gets to the point where you're sacrificing your relationships in front of you, like your friends, your family, your own mental health, in order to be this idea of work success. Because you can't say no. You can't say no to your boss call you on a Saturday morning when it's your off day to work on a presentation or have a quick check-in call. No.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's subtle people-pleasing behavior. We don't see it that way because we have made it in our minds that it's our personal responsibility to be good people, to show up and be overworked. Anyway, I digress. Let me go back. We feel neglectful of our own needs. That's another people-pleasing trait. They're exhausted. They're overbooked, burnt out, trying to take care of others. If you ever feel stuck about making decisions because you go back to item number one on the list, which is this fear of rejection. So those are just some quick things to check your knowledge as to whether or not you find yourself to people please, because we mask it in saying stuff like, oh, I just have strong work ethic, or oh, I'm just intuitive about how others feel and think, and so I just need to do it. And it's amazing how we can use things that are supposed to be helpful to us and not really realize how it's impacting our overall mental health, because it's subtle, right? Let's go back to strong work ethic people. Because I think I have strong work ethic, because a certain time there's work and a certain time for play.
Yeah.
However, to the place where I am going to, like, my admin knows this. All right. When it's like the kid's birthday, and meaning like my niece and nephew, I off. At a certain point, I off. And when we first started working together, she had to understand that about me, because she'd be like, but we have another, no, priority is here. This is the priority. And so it got to the point now where she sees it on the calendar. She's like, oh, I don't even ask it. She don't even ask me a question anymore. And it's because my work ethic is between these hours, I'm working and I'm dedicated. But when it gets to a certain point, there's a no option. There's a cutoff time, because I've realized that my need to have a good business, have good practices, be a good employee to myself, it could happen and be affected between these hours. And then after that, it's cut off.
Yeah. So balance.
It is balance. And so we let these little things creep in over time. And so maybe it first starts with work, not putting boundaries with your bosses about what you could do and when you can do it. Then it trickles over to your other relationships because, you know, mommy asks you to do this, daddy asks you to do this, and everything is yes, 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 I'll get it done. To the point that you feel so pulled in so many directions, you just burn out. And that's where burnout kind of kicks in. And so people pleasers tend to have this high level of, it's commonly associated with low levels of self-esteem, high levels of perfectionism, high levels of having a type A personality style, and this strong need to control, the strong need for overachievement, because in their minds, if we do all of these things, if we do those things well, then my image is intact. My idea of who I am is intact. But And it starts very early on. People pleasers usually start off as parent pleasers. Let me say that again. People pleasers usually start off as parent pleasers.
Oh, wow.
And so people pleasing behavior evolves as a way to maintain that connection, that closeness with your parents. And so you don't want to be that inconsistent child. You always want to be available to them. So a lack of parental attunement, as we call it, is a big part of what causes people pleasing. And let me talk more about that.
Because what's that? Parent atonement?
Parent attunement. So this attunement meaning that many parents of people pleasers are too worried about their own troubles to tune into what their children are feeling and thinking. So what attunement means is that I am connected in a healthy way between my mind, my body, and other people around me, that I can assess the room, right? It's alignment. Mm-hmm. So when you have parents who are only worried about their own needs, like I have a client right now who I've just started seeing, and who's talked about the fact that her mother was on drugs. And to the point that her mother essentially gave her up. She didn't even know that was her mother until she was about 6-7 years old. She was raised by her grandparents, and she thought those were her parents. She had no other biological reference for why she would call them mom and dad.
Wow.
And at 6-7, they went to a funeral of her mother when she met her grandmother's sister. And this lady walked up to her and say, "Why don't you come hug your mother?" And she was like, She remembers this at 6. And she's like, "You're not my mother." And she runs away. And she remembers at that point then finding out that her whole world fell apart, because she now finds out that these people who she thought were her parents were not her parents.
Oh, wow.
And I won't even tell you the horrible way she found out. But
yeah.
She got to this place now where she felt like she had to take care of all of her siblings, because her mother then had additional siblings from 6. And she wanted to be such a good big sister because she needed them to be okay. At the point at 13 years old that she dropped out of school, got a job, and had been working and taking care of them. Yes.
Wow.
And so her mother didn't realize and couldn't interpret or misinterpreted her feelings and her needs as a child, and could only think about herself. And so we're having conversations about this now, because people pleasing children act more like adults in the relationship than they do about that they could act like a child, because they have to become what we call parentified. They have to take on adult like qualities before their time. And so they have to become the ones who do the caregiving, and they have to become the ones who take care of the parents. And so in the end, the parent struggles to be emotionally connected to the child and available to their child in a consistent way. And so then the child picks up on this and moves towards protecting the parent and their feelings and their needs to be. And so in their need to remain connected to their parent, they start out with this people-pleasing behavior, because I want to do everything I can to make sure mommy's around or daddy's around or daddy feels loved so that I can always feel connected to them. And so this is a part of what confuses people-pleasers. They have memories of warmth and connection with their parents. So how could the relationship with others be people-pleasing? That's their only reference for what it is. Because of this preoccupation, though, the parents would either become hot or cold with them. And so one moment they may be affectionate and loving, and the next moment the parent may become distant or absent. And because that's very confusing for a child, and whether or not it's due to, let's say a parent is ill or they have some addiction or some other mental health issue, they get entangled with these memories of their past and often worry about it in their future. And because they become worried about it in their future, they start to relate to themselves as the person who needs to fulfill any connection with anybody else.
Oh, wow.
So it starts off unhealthy, and it continues throughout their lives as unhealthy connection, because I can't let you feel sad. I can't let you feel in love. I need to make sure. And it becomes this need fulfillment.
Ooh, this is deep. This is deep.
So a lot of times we don't realize how our early relationships really, really have an impact on our later adult personas. And this is why people always talk about Freud. But one of the greatest things I think Freud has ever said is that your early childhood years really set the course for your adult relationships and how you will show up as an adult to be intimate with anybody else. And he was a big proponent of those early first 6 years will really, if it was traumatic, it's going to show up. And it does not really show up until you get into your 20s and later on when somebody's asking you to show up and be present as an adult in these relationships. And you're like, I am. And they're like, no, you're doing this childlike behavior. So over time, the people-pleasing child learns that their parents are unreliable, but they cannot stop depending on them. Because at the same time, remember, I am still a child, even though I'm acting as an adult. So I try to keep that long, close, consistent connection with you. And even though at some level, I may know that this relationship may sink or swim, depending on my parents' well-being or depending on how my parent feels. And because I'm so good at propping up my parents emotionally, I will start to track their moods, their emotions, their frequency, their striving. I'll try to make them proud. I'm going to get all A's. I'm going to be the best kid possible. And I don't even think about my own needs. And eventually this becomes a practice that you don't even realize that you've practiced people-pleasing skills from so early on that when you get to an adult, you don't know any different.
Yeah, because that's who you've become. Wow, this is deep. Okay, we have to take a break. You're listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black. Dr. E and I, well, Dr. E, I'm just listening. Dr. E is talking about people pleasing, and it's a riveting conversation. I'm sitting here, Dr. E, and I'm saying to myself, well, this is deep. You know, I'm trying to figure out now, like, you know, who do I know in my world? And a bit of what you're saying also is kind of like, you know, corn mashing. I'm trying to figure out, do I say no enough? And now I have to go into like meditation mode and Zen mode, right? And figure it out. You're listening to The Hit Back with Nahaja Black. We'll be back right after this.
Get back.